At this time of year, most tourists visiting Vermont are there to ski, but there is another option, learning to track wildlife. From Wilmington, Allison Freeland reports.
Lynn Levine dresses for the outdoors in the local style. Three or four layers of mismatched fleece and down, waterproof snow pants, and a hat with ear flaps pulled down over her curly hair. She's a Brooklyn girl who spent most of her life working as a forester in Vermont.
I was sort of trained to look up at the trees, and one day I started looking down, and I had millions of questions.
This morning, Levine is hoping to answer the questions of a small group gathered to brave the 15-degree chill and learn the basics of tracking. Most are also crunching along on snowshoes for the first time. The Zinzer family from Medina, Ohio, has paid $25 apiece for the experience.
We have a lot of deer and rabbits. That was something we're always used to looking for, but I've never seen anything more wild than that.
Debbie Zinzer knows that bear tracks have been spotted in the area.
That would be really cool, but I want to see the tracks, not the real bear.
Levine has given everyone thin, spiral-bound tracking books that they clutch in their mittened hands. The guide shows the basic division of mammals in the woods into hoppers, bounders, walkers, and waddlers, and illustrates how they move. Levine explains that tracking is all about seeing patterns. The group starts to climb over small shrubs, following a thin line of impressions in the snow.
We got the hopper pattern. Okay, so then if you look at your sheet and say, okay, we have a hopper. Do we have a rabbit? Does this match? Is this the size of the print?
Yeah.
Got a red squirrel again? I'll buy that one.
In addition to the squirrel, they identify a bird, a red fox, and the tiniest of all mammals, a shrew. Then they come upon the largest tracks of the morning, slightly filled in with powdery snow. Levine suggests that they split up to examine the woods on either side.
I think we could, some of us could head into the alder.
Most of the group pushes off into the trees.
But you can see, like, all the imprints on there.
What do you see?
Tad Lyon is the innkeeper who's hosting the Zinzer family.
It's the whole idea that if you come from the city and civilization and whatnot, you just assume that when it's cold and snowy that everything is dead. And it's not. There's all this life out here that you discover when you go out with somebody who tells you where to look and how to see it.
Eventually, the trackers return with their evidence. 15-year-old Brian Zinzer is the first to report his data.
No, the length of it was about 15.
Right.
And, like, the width of it was about, like, 5. I didn't get a good print, but
okay.
It looked like a bear.
Having bagged the bear tracks, the group heads for a cabin to take a break from the cold. Their tracking experience has brought them about as close to the wild as they want. Levine considers it a successful initiation into the unpredictable world of tracking.
I think it's the word unexpected is the key. You plan out your days so much, and here you just don't know what will happen.
Tracking has made Scott Zinzer wonder about all the other unexpected things going on in the woods.
It's amazing what we saw, you know, walking around in this small area, and we drove, 700 miles to get here, all the forests and the woods we passed, and how many tracks we passed, unknown.
Levine's lofty goal is that her trackers will eventually turn into naturalists who will lobby to protect the forests. Scott Zinzer thinks he'll just take the guidebook with him and see what animals he can track during the rest of his Vermont vacation. For NPR News, this is Allison Freeland in Wilmington, Vermont.